Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. What is up, and welcome back to the podcast. Pia's here. How are you?
I am. I'm perfectly fine today. I managed to get my workout in before the recording, and that always feels good. You know, the sooner in the day you get the workout out of the way, the better. I'm sure you can relate. So I'm super happy and empowered.
Good. I want to do it earlier, but I also am more productive when it comes to work earlier in the day. So for me, it's kind of like, I do know, for example, yesterday, right, I trained legs. I feel it right now, by the way, too. But like, I train legs and then I'm just dead afterwards because I'm really trying to push. And we'll talk about training today. But if I got to work after leg day, like, nothing's getting done, you know?
That's a good point. You're pretty big on late workouts, or is that just my head? I feel like I see your stories like, done with my leg workout at like 9 in the evening.
It's a bit out of necessity because I don't like it, honestly. I don't like training late, but I have been, yeah. So recently, I had a few days off around Easter, a few days off last week. I went to Stockholm. I try to take like a week off, like every quarter. But right now, I just kind of like did 2 half weeks. And I mean, it's super busy right now. We have a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. So it was like, there's a lot to do still. So I've been trying to... cram in as much work as possible in a day. Sometimes it's like an evening workout. So it's one of those where this maybe ties into today as well. It's like life is seasonal. You know what I mean? And there's going to be times where we're on a roll with nutrition and we're really into it and we're going to back off sometimes with training, with work, all that stuff. Right now I'm in a spot where, and I will say like this week now it's going to be normal again. But I had to do a little bit of catching up, a little bit of extra stuff, also for our team weekend this week. And then now I can kind of go back to normal. But normally I would prefer going around maybe, I would say like 3 PM would be like perfect for me, I would say.
Yeah, I'm sure people can relate. Like if you have a normal job, you have no choice but to do your workout in the evening. So I'm sure a lot of people are thinking like, yeah, that's how normal people have... that's when we have to train. A lot of people have to train like in the evening.
Yeah.
And it's also that when vanesak is what you get used to as well. So
yeah.
It's probably not that bad if you're used to it. But for me as well, everything like after, I would say like 4 o'clock is, it's not a no-go. I make it work, but it feels like it costs so much more.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing is too, because I usually get up super early. I've been doing a course, more like a functional nutrition course, diving into gut health, hormones and all that stuff, liver detoxification, like just nerdy stuff, basically, because I've been seeing more complex cases with my clients who are struggling with, I mean, like we're putting them through, let's call it normal protocols, but they're not responding like most people or, you know, people were supposed to. So I'm trying to dive into that a little bit more because there's definitely people who really respond differently, right? Who have actually functional issues going on. So that's what I've been diving into. But I have like 2 Zoom calls a week now, which is like 10 in the evening because of the time zone difference. So it's like Monday night, Wednesday night. So that's also one of the reasons why I've been doing my workout there, like right before that and, you know.
Okay, I understand. And we're actually going to talk about you today because I asked you if we could talk about the cut that you've been doing. I know that you've been cutting for some time and we're in a period of the year where I think a lot of people, I don't know if the word cut is in their mind, but we want to feel good when we step into, you know, our bikini, our shorts, without it taking over our lives. And that's always like an interesting balance. So I don't know, I just think it would be really cool to hear from you why you did it, how it went, what results was, and maybe a few key points that can inspire us all.
Sure. I like sharing these kind of things because I think it's important to not necessarily give people the idea of like, hey, this is how you should be doing it, right? Not just like being like, hey, you know, look how lean I am, but more like, hey, I'm also still doing the work. And I like to document that because I think it's interesting for people to kind of see. And it comes with ups and downs, right? And there are always roadblocks. So.
Yeah. And what was your, also, why did you want to do a cut like you've been doing? What was the purpose and the reason?
A good one. Yeah. So basically my old mentor, Cody McBroom, hit me up and we had been in touch. And I was like, hey, I feel like because in 2023, I kind of put my work before my fitness. I definitely, like, I was still fine, you know? I still had a lot of muscle. I still worked out. I'm still pretty lean. But just, right, I trained less. It just wasn't, like, optimal, I guess. But I was on purpose. I was focused on work, you know? Again, seasonal. But then I hit him up. I was like, hey, look, like, I kind of want to dial my own stuff in again. I know I need accountability. I like that. I've been very work-focused. But I'm ready to kind of, like, pick my own stuff up as well. Now, is that... It's, again, it's big part accountability. It is, I also think it's important to go through muscle gain phases and fat loss phases, which by now I've done plenty of times, but to relate to the client as well, to document that, to kind of show people, right? And let's be honest, right? It's fun to build muscle and look lean and stuff. So it's also one of those to where, you know, I want to build some muscle. I want to see... where I can take it, you know what I mean? You know, I come from being fat and unfit, right, until I was 22, then really just focused on weight loss, didn't really do any bulking until 2021, but now I'm in a spot where I don't have to do it, but it's like, hey, like, let's see where we can take it, you know? So it's also just kind of like that, just testing.
Oh, yeah, I love to hear that. And how long did the cut last? Like, how many weeks?
So this was a little bit longer, but it was 4 months. But it was a very moderate deficit, and I'll explain a little bit more. Weight was dropping very slowly, but I built muscle, so I want to talk about that today as well. But basically, I hit up my coach, Cody, and he's like, yo, like, I'm actually putting something together, which is kind of like a course. And so this will also be part, like, case study kind of for him. And he does my training as well as nutrition. So we said, okay, let's dial things in for a couple of weeks, and then we jump in. And that was... Yeah, just before the end of the year. So it was, I mean, a total of like 4 months of dieting. So let's say just about 16 weeks. Yeah.
4 months. Yeah, it sounds a lot, but at the same time, in a life perspective, lifespan, it's not that much. And what was the result? We're obviously going to go into like how did you do it? What did you experience during the cut? But the results, how did it go?
Yeah. So... Again, I don't want people to hear these numbers and be like, this is the length of dieting I need to go for, or this is right what I should be doing, or whatever. I've also been sharing more client transformations where I put like the percentage of weight loss difference instead of like the kilos. But let me look this up because I actually posted it on my stories and then I want to... Okay, there we go. Yes, so I had a DEXA scan... done. And so for the listener, like a DEXA scan is, let's call it like the golden standard when it comes to looking at, you know, muscle mass, fat percentage, etc. There's a lot of scales out there, especially the ones where you like hold the handle, right? They're super inaccurate. They are. The ones that you get at home, very inaccurate, but also the ones at the gym, maybe even at the doctor. It's cool to use those scales, but be aware that a lot of the data there is going to be inaccurate. So the DEXA is one of the best. So I started at 86.9 kilos on average. And then 4 months later, I was 83.5. So that's a 3.5 kilo drop over 4 months. I'll say it again. 3.5 kilos, 4 months. You see, I'm not dropping a kilo a week or something crazy. And that's what people expect or maybe want. And I blame apps like MyFitnessPal for that, because you go in, first thing, you know, you get to do is like set your goal, choose your rate of weight loss. Oh, 1 kilo a week. Yeah, great. Let's do that. Yeah. So we took it slow. right? So I went from 86.9 down to 83.5, dropped from 11.1 body fat percentage down to 8.3 body fat percentage, but I gained a kilo of muscle.
Oh.
Yeah. So that is what I always want people to look at. That's why we do the photos, because a DEXA scan, right, it adds up if you want to, you know, pay for it and stuff. If you don't take your photos, measurements, etc., and you just focus on that skill, you might be missing that stuff, right?
Mm.
That's why we always got to think fat loss, and we always got to look at muscle gain as well in training, because you might just be transforming your body completely while looking at the skill and not seeing anything there, or barely, and then being bummed out, even though you are making progress, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that sounds to me like pretty good results. What do you think? And is it anything about the results that, like, surprised you?
I'd say the muscle gain, at least the amount, because we've talked about this, right? The, like, a calorie deficit is not the optimal environment for muscle gain. But there's a few changes that we made that I feel like have contributed to that. I also want people to realize, like, hey, you know, depending on busyness and stuff, volume and those kind of things, and how often we go to the gym, it may or may not work for someone. You know what I mean? So again, this is all individualized to me. But I would say the muscle gain, especially in the beginning, we saw quite a bit of that. And I want to share this too, because I'm also a human being, or at least I think so. So they say. In the beginning, things were going very slowly. I caught myself being impatient with the skill as well. So I do want to mention this, right? I know how these kind of things work. I know I talk about this every single week with my people. However, I also still had that feeling where I looked at the skill, I looked at my average, it wasn't dropping that much. But guess what? Because I do my measurements and photos every single week. So my coach was like, hey, let's look at those measurements and photos. And guess what? I was building muscle very clearly, you know? So I also went through that. And I didn't want to show or share that, because as much as I know how these kind of things work, it's still something that sometimes we might miss. And that's why we have a coach, right? That coach can be like, hey, let's look at these objective numbers and you are actually progressing. Mm. But back to why. First of all, we did go from, so I was on 200 grams of protein. We went to 240, which is high.
Mm.
Again, right? You see discussions online these days where 1 gram per pound of body weight is too much, or even more, it's unnecessary. Yes, it's more than necessary. That is true. However, I have seen better results with high protein. My coach also, right? And from experience.
Because how many grams per kilo is that for you, 240 at that time?
Let me see. I started at 87 kilos. Yeah, so that's 2.75 grams per kilo of body weight. So that is high.
Okay, that's a lot of protein.
Yeah, it is. Again, right, going back to that discussion, and there is research, right, about this, and it is true. Like, you don't have to go that high. However, it keeps you more full. Protein is not really stored as body fat. And it, like, that's what your body uses to build muscle, right?
Mm.
So it's really just, look at it this way. We're dieting, right? We're really just trying to optimize our chances of at least not losing muscle. Now, so that was a big one. Second, I also didn't train as much in 2023. I would say most of the year, it was like 3 times a week on average. We went to 5 times a week. That was a big one, right? And it was a lot more volume. I was doing quite long workouts. Sometimes it was 2 hours, which I also told my coach at some point, hey, like, right now it's getting a little much. We have to dial it back a little. So we did. But it was the increase in volume also.
Mm.
I think that's a big one. The increase in volume, the fact that I didn't really push my training last year, I didn't train as much. So it's always like a new stimulus for the body. And that's how your body will respond the best to things. If it's kind of like a novelty stimulus, you know? So I would say that the protein, the training volume, as well as the training intensity, because I now had a coach, so I pushed myself. Mm. So that accountability.
And can I ask you how your split was? Like, you don't have to go in depth about your training, but how, I'm guessing you were focusing on strength training. And how was the split and how was like the program?
It was push, pull, legs, push, pull. So I did push day, so for the listeners, right? Chest, shoulders, etc., triceps. Then the second day, I believe, is pull, or it might be legs, because I've been alternating those sometimes. But either way, like pull, right? So you do back, you do biceps and stuff. And I did legs once a week, and then rest day, and then again, upper body. So chest day, basically, right? Push, and then back, so pull.
Okay, and the repetitions, did they have to, how low on repetitions did you go and how high did you like do the whole specter or did you focus around one area?
For the most part, some of the main lifts were like 10 to 12, I would say. And then some more like, tricep, bicep stuff was like around the 12 to 15, sometimes up to 20
Yeah.
reps.
And what about cardio? Did you do a lot of cardio?
I did actually increase cardio. And I always tell people, like, we don't do this inherently for fat loss, but let's be honest, it does contribute, right? It's just that it's not that main driver, and the majority of what you do is going to be through nutrition. We always want to, emphasize that. But I did. But it wasn't what people would expect, right? I did 30 minutes on a treadmill, slight incline, at a pace where it would still be considered lower intensity, I would say. Let's imagine a pace to where you can still hold a conversation. So I did that initially three times a week, then four, then five.
Yeah, so a lot of people think that they have to do like a lot of running and sweating and high intensity training to as affect fat loss, but so you did not do that.
No, I mean I sweat it, like when you do cardio, usually you sweat, and I did, but it definitely wasn't like I was dying, and I think people sometimes think that it's like I have to get that sweat in, and let's be honest, it is kind of nice, right? It feels good afterwards, and it's healthy for you also. We do want to also sometimes do some high intensity stuff, of course. This is where we train those different energy systems, right? But I think people sometimes think, hey, I'm sweating my ass off, I'm losing fat. But that's different. That's thermoregulation. Your body's overheating, so you start sweating to cool down.
Yeah, I just feel that a lot of the people I work with, especially women, they're so used to like using a lot of energy on their cardio so that they don't manage to push as hard as they should be able to on the strength training. And it sounds like you followed, as your nutrition, it gave you the power you needed to really push on your strength training workouts. And you also managed to like maintain your cardio at a level where you used energy and you burnt off energy, but it didn't drain you in the way that you didn't manage to like push properly on the strength training, and that's obviously where we want to be.
Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now, let's get back to the episode. Yeah, because I also did 10,000 steps today, outside of the cardio, right? So this is not counting the steps from doing cardio. So, because we wanted to separate that. Plus, I'm trying to think here. One thing I gotta say. So, and I think we talked about this before, but we obviously, right? We work with fitness, right? This is something that we do, and we also create our own schedule. So what I got to do was do some cardio in the morning. I was still working though, right? So I would walk to the gym, do the cardio there, but I was doing emails, right? Social media stuff for half an hour. And then I would go back home and then train weights in the evening. So that needs to be said too, because that's how I got to kind of replenish in between, have a better workout. Because if you do your cardio before your weight session, like you said, right? You might not have that energy. So that's why we separated that. And again, like it was a lot. I'm not gonna lie, right? It was a lot. I got to make it work. But I also told my coach, like, hey, we got to pull back now, just from like a schedule standpoint. Again, going back to that seasonal right approach to everything. Right now, this quarter of the year, like I need as much time as possible to build the things that we're building. So it's like, I got to pull back, right? So yeah. That's what we've been doing.
And like on a personal level, I mean, you don't have children, but you have, of course, a girlfriend that you live with, and you have a life outside of the cut, obviously.
Yeah.
Do you feel that you manage to maintain a good balance, like with the diet and training taking a lot of time, but also being present as, you know, a working person, a coach, of course, but also boyfriend and for your friends and family? I don't know. I just find that balance a bit hard when you do a cut that, like, it demands a lot of you. And I think a lot of people can relate to this, that it makes you pretty selfish, and you think a lot about your own stuff, your own training, your own food, your own meals, that it almost like takes you away from friends and family. Sort of. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of thoughts about that. Because for me, it doesn't. It really doesn't. It doesn't take any energy. It's just something I do anyway, right? I track my food. I like tracking food. I want people to know as well that I make a point of moving my clients away from tracking, right?
Mm.
And then, right? Because I want them to do without also. That's part of what we do. But there are people, including myself, who like tracking for the most part, especially when you're not at maintenance, right? To be honest with you, even at maintenance, like, I mostly track. So it's really just adjusting amounts. Hey, when I have my breakfast, it's just fewer oats. If I have my lunch, it's like one wrap instead of two, or maybe a slice of bread less, a couple of potatoes fewer, you know? It's really not that crazy. But I do get it. I do get it. So here's what I do, right? Easter, we talked about this, and I should have said this actually at that time, because you asked me, hey, are you still cutting through Easter? And I said yes, and I did, but I had some refeed days. Right, so this is one really cool tool that people can use if they want to and need to, especially if you're a couple of months in, maybe two months in, whatever. You can play with that to where, hey, you know what, let's actually go to maintenance for a couple of days, take a mini break, and then continue. So that's one tool you can do. If I look at, and this goes for most of my clients too, right? When I look at my schedule, okay, which meals do I have with my girlfriend, family, etc., right? Well, it's mostly just dinner. Now, I eat 5 times a day. Okay, so 4 meals, I can do my own thing, basically. So my breakfast is the same. I changed it up, but it usually rotates, right? Same for lunch, etc. So 4 out of 5 meals is just taken care of, and it's just routine. Right.
Mm.
But then I leave enough room for that 5th meal with enough carbs, fats, protein, etc., so that I can kind of, right, base that off of what we feel like, so that I can still have the meal with my partner, you know?
Mm.
Because as you know, like, we do like Indian food on Monday because we really like that. So that's one of those meals. And I make it so that I adjust my day to have plenty of room for that. Right.
Mm.
And I do the same thing with, like I said, Easter, other kind of dinners. I still had moments where we had burgers, right? We made some pizza. Those are a few meals over the course of weeks, but still, you can accommodate for it. And it's really not that bad, I think.
Right. So if I were to ask you, girlfriend, like, did you notice that Johan was on a cut? She would be like, no, not at all.
I mean, she noticed, but I was still eating the usual amount during our dinners, you know?
Yeah.
What I will say, okay, sometimes I would add a little bit more salad, for example, but I was just going super hungry at some point. So, like, that was the main difference. But, yeah, that was really it for the most part.
Yeah, I think it's a big one to, like, to plan and to make decisions ahead, so that when you, like, you're in the meal situation, you know what you're going to eat, and you don't, like, have a lot of emotional thoughts and stress and fuss about it. You just do what you planned, make room for like the bigger, more happy meals when you're together with people or your family. And yeah, just make it work as best as you can. So now you're finished with the cut. And obviously I saw some pictures on Instagram looking strong. But what happens now? Because you've obviously achieved a great physique, as you were great before, you're great now. Is your goal to like maintain that low of a fat percentage and muscle mass, or like where do you go from here?
Great question. I love that. So we need to understand that we are going to gain a little bit of body fat. If we're coming from super lean, right, we are going to gain some. And usually we do. But our goal now is to stay as lean as possible as we transition up. So I'm reverse dieting. And the way we do it actually this time is slightly different to what I normally do, which is kind of fun. But what we've done is jump halfway between where I end up my cut, so calorie-wise, right? And my expected maintenance, and we're just slowly stepping it up. Trying to train well, right? My cardio went down to fewer times a week and then 25 minutes, and we're gonna drop it down to 20. So there's a few changes going on there. Steps are the same, by the way. But the transition now is the goal is to go into muscle gain. The goal is to stay lean, but I mean, I will gain some body fat, right? That is just how it goes. And I think people sometimes think, hey, I lost weight. I dropped down to, or in my case, like 83.5 kilos. I have to say exactly 83.5. It's just not going to happen, you know? You're going to restore your muscle glycogen, which will make your muscles look fuller as well, by the way. You're going to have better energy. But there's more food in your stomach, there's a little bit more water with that, right, in your system. So it's like we are going to see a bit of a bump in on the scale, and there is going to be a little bit extra body fat, but we can stay pretty lean.
Are you at all stressing about that? Like going from super lean, looking super athletic, and then not doing so anymore, like when you're going back to more maintenance-based nutrition and training?
Not really. Because I don't really, so here's where it's maybe a little bit double. Because obviously I've been cutting with the goal of like being super lean, and I want to stay lean, right? That's now our goal, and it's very much almost like a, yeah, like a case study. But I also don't care about like being absolutely shredded all the time. And anyone, to the listener, anyone who you follow on Instagram who looks shredded year round, right, is either full of shit or they're on steroids. That's just a fact, right? And this is what people do. They get super, super lean. They book a bunch of photo shoots and then they post those pictures across the whole year. Even though they might be in a muscle gain phase, actually gaining some body fat, but they don't share that, right? And steroids, like it's big, you know? Again, I don't like bringing that up, but like it is something people do. And that is how you can stay super lean, etc. But like, we're not going to focus on that here. But it needs to be brought up because a lot of like influencers or you know models whatever do that and it can give you a wrong idea of what's realistic.
Definitely. Do you think it's do you see that with your clients that there's a different difference in men versus women on how they deal with the like maintenance and building and cutting and like the thoughts that go into it? Is it harder for women in any way than for men? It's a pretty generalizing question, so it's hard to answer. But of course, women, we have like as a menstrual cyclist as well, a lot of things go up and down in another way than it does with you guys. So it is, I wouldn't say harder, but the women physiology is a lot more complex. I guess I can say that. So in some way, for some women, it can be harder to like find sort of like a balance because things change a lot for a lot of women through a month, a week, and a year.
I don't think it's more difficult necessarily, but I think there is, this is maybe, I'm trying to see, I think this is maybe more of like almost an experience kind of thing to where, or a society kind of thing to where if we look at most dudes I work with, men, and female clients, which is like the vast majority, right? Like I think 75% of our people are females. If we look just objectively, right? And we don't want to generalize, but if we look at our client base and what people have done in the past, I would say the female, right? The 75% of our people in our company, it's like they've definitely had way more focus on weight loss sometimes people in the 50s, 60s, like they did that for 20, 30, 40 years almost, where that was their main focus, you see. So I would say in general, women, at least the ones who come to us, have had more experience trying to diet all the time. There has also been this kind of pressure from society and like the magazines, and you got to be slim and all that stuff. And then there's all the crazy diets. If I even look at, you know, my family members, just, you know, right? People always trying to do the new thing and not seeing success with that. Whereas I do see most men kind of just, if I look at it now, like kind of just accumulating body fat over time. And then it's like, okay, I got to do something about it. Without that chronic dieting kind of thing. But okay, so based off of that, I think it may be more difficult sometimes to go into the eating enough part, to do the reverse diet, to do the maintenance phases, because it's a big mental thing. It's like, I just had a call with someone yesterday who kind of came to me kind of depressed and was in a really bad place, and she actually didn't really believe it was going to work, and right? And we had to do a lot of mindset stuff too, a lot of mindset work, right? But she's lost weight, a crazy amount. I think like 15% of her body weight. She's not keeping it off. She's now way more positive and happy. And I told her too, like, you know what's cool? Like, you're now in a place where you don't have to do that anymore. You are now done with like the crazy, like always trying to do all the diets, right? But that's transition, a mind shift. Yeah, that transition is difficult sometimes because it's unfamiliar. Think about it. Like if you've been trying to diet for like, let's say 10 years or even more, right? Or even less, but like multiple years. Then all of a sudden that thing falls away. Something you've been so focused on. That can be really difficult. And it can be scary also because that has never been the focus until then. Like what is a reverse diet? Like what do you mean we have to go to maintenance? Like, no, like, we got, there's something that's called eating enough, you know what I mean? So I think, long story short, that's probably why I see, yeah, more females actually having a harder time with that.
Yeah, definitely.
As much as it's so important.
I actually I have one last question. Yeah. I also have a podcast called Träningspodden. It's in Norwegian, so for you guys listening now, I sound a lot cooler and smarter in Träningspodden because there I can speak Norwegian. But anyway, in Träningspodden, we got a question about something called food noise. And I don't know if that's like a known term, but I think everybody can like think for themselves what it involves. And it's something I can see in my clients, whereas working with nutrition in the way that we're talking about here, for some gives them like a feeling of accomplishments, a feeling of positive control, and they can finally like take control over the diet and get somewhere. But on the other hand, I also see that some of my, for example, members in Starkere, where you did this course about nutrition, they are a bit like, I can't go into this. I can't like start counting macros and stuff because I know that it makes my head spin. Have you sensed in some way that this cut has created more food noise for you, like thinking more about food and just having it take up a lot of space in your everyday life and head in a negative way in any way?
Me, no.
No.
Look, so I've been going through, like, I've been doing like this nutrition thing, like even before coaching, like for like over a decade now, you know? I don't see it as, at least for me, there's no additional noise or whatever it is, you know. I had some chocolate over Easter, and right, but it's something we need to work towards, I think, to being in this place, because I do feel like for most people that's not the case, or I know that's the case because that's right, my clients. But for me personally, no. I did get super hungry towards the end, I will say that kind of sucked. It is a big stressor on the body, right? I wasn't feeling great. But when it comes to food, like maybe being obsessed around food or whatever it may be, like not really. But I like that you brought that up, because I think it's a big thing, which is, this is not even to sell coaching, but this is why coaching is so important, because I have gone through that experience myself too. And I know a lot of our listeners are, maybe you yourself too, to where you are trying to figure it out by yourself, even if that is with my articles or with whatever, you know, podcasts, blogs, or whatever you read or learn, going through that by yourself is hard. And having someone on your team who you can just discuss things with is super key. Or having a community like your app, right? Having that space where you can go in and ask questions and get the support from people. Or having a coach, right? Going back and forth and working through these kind of things. That is super important.
Mm.
Because I do agree. And I was even thinking about this. I feel like we should probably like update them at some point as well. Maybe for like next year or something. Because I do agree that for, although most people can benefit from getting into tracking, for some, it might not be the right move. And then we might just focus on just the foods, which, by the way, is also why we created that first article, like building the perfect plate, right? Focusing on that. Because even if you just do that, following those foods, creating your meal like that, that allows for a lot of variety, right?
Because
you can fill it in it however you want. There's no tracking involved yet. If most people do that for most of their meals, it goes a long way already, you know?
Yes, definitely. And that's why it was important for me to include it, because I definitely don't think that everyone should track.
No.
But at the same time, I experience over and over again how much more calm people get when they get the knowledge and experience for themselves, how much better they both feel and perform when they do things right, whatever that means. So even though it looks scary with like numbers and stuff, and it's not for everyone at all, I feel a lot of the food noise goes away when you decide to like do something about it, even if it's on your own. But of course, if you have the possibility, it's super valuable to do it with a coach. That's what I used you, and obviously that's why you've used a coach now. So yeah,
I think it's also the mindset going in, and I do notice this a lot, no offense, with Norwegians a little bit more. we have certain different ideas, right? But so I think when I hear those kind of statements, and again, I'm not saying everyone needs to track, absolutely not. But when I hear that, oh, I can't, right? I always think like, hey, okay, why is that already the case, even though we haven't gone into that yet? Because we don't know yet, objectively speaking, right? We don't know because we haven't done the thing yet. So already, and this is just being realistic, already before going into it, we're already labeling it as difficult. And we're already saying this is going to be obsessive. This is going to cost my focus, my, you know, everything. This is going to take away from my normal life. Can we flip that maybe and think, instead of thinking, okay, what are all the things that I have to give up, right? What are all the things that are, you know, going to change? Like, what's the good stuff you're going to get out of this, you know? Like, what are all the positives? Because I am still of the opinion that I still think people need to try new things and be open to new things.
Yeah,
without going into it, thinking of all the things they need to sacrifice. Yeah. That's not the right way to go about it, you know?
That's sort of like the wrong mindset to enter a transformation phase. But at the same time, not everyone wants to transform. For some people, it can be enough just to have a goal of a healthy lifestyle. And a lot of people can gain a lot by just doing that, like not focusing on maintenance, gaining, or cutting, whatever. So, yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, so nice and cool to hear about your cutting phase. Congratulations on a good job, and congratulations on not being hungry anymore. That must feel really nice to like finally have some more food again.
Yeah, it is good. It is good.
Yeah.
Let's do this again. I know we will. Just to kind of wrap up, do you have any like updates coming up or anything going on over there?
Thank you for asking. Currently 30 weeks pregnant, not doing any cuts anytime soon. I'm actually relaunching my courses for training as when you're pregnant and training after giving birth. So that will be launching during May. You can check out information about that on piaseberg.no. Other than that, as a business owner, I'm just trying to get ahead of time so that when I give birth in the summer, June, July-ish, I can like take a chill pill and be a mom of two. That's so crazy. But the pregnant course and the training after birth is probably my main focus right now, in addition to Sterkere and Trent.
Amazing. I'll make sure to link that. Also your podcast, because, I mean, we have a lot of Norwegian listeners too, you know? So, although I assume that they are already listening to your podcast, but still, I'm going to link it.
Yeah, link your super website valuable. As well.
And we'll link the apps as well, of course, but that's going to be accessible via your website.
Yes.
So thanks again.
All right. Yeah, and thank you so much for sharing.
Of course. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd like to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS, and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.